Welcome to Age of Minority, a podcast for youth about the gospel. I'm your host, Jaquel, here with my co-host, pastor, and dad, Sean.
Jaquel!
Hey, Dad.
What's going on?
Not too much. What is going on with you, my man?
Well, you know what I'm doing right now?
What?
I have found on my computer there's a place to turn notifications off.
Oh, yeah, yes. I know. I have that on my computer, too.
I didn't know about that. I thought it was just on the phone. And so I just typed in notifications. Hey, here I am. I just turned notifications off, so nothing is going to be bothering anybody. I was listening into one of our old episodes, as I do from time to time, to check on quality control. And my computer made some noise, and I remember when it made it, and you and I said something about it, but you couldn't hear it in the podcast.
Oh, I remember that.
So you couldn't hear it in the episode. So I'm sure people are wondering, like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, I totally remember that, because then afterwards, you listened to it, and you were like, yeah, we reacted to it, and nobody could have heard it.
Yeah. So anyway, but you know what? Well, you know what you could hear
what?
Is when I asked Mrs. Google.
Oh, yeah.
You could totally hear her on the episode.
Oh, yeah, you can always hear Mrs. Google.
Yeah, Mrs. Google. She's got such a melodic voice.
Clear as a bell.
So what do you think of our basement? I mean, our studio.
Oh, our high-quality recording studio?
Yeah, that I cleaned up.
I know. It is much cleaner.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. There is no Powerade bottle with a screwdriver in it.
Yeah.
And
oh, turn around. Look. That crazy...
The creepy bumblebee trophy's
gone.
But, that's gone.
But guess what's still there, Jacob? Look with me.
The clown is still there.
Oh, yeah.
And the Taco Bell dog is still there. Yeah. And creepy Santa is still here.
Oh, yeah. Creepy Santa stays forever.
I know. He's staring at my back. It scares me.
Whoa. Creepy Santa is watching over
creepy
you.
Creepy Santa is just straight up creepy.
So anyway, speaking of our recording studio, big announcement.
There's a very big announcement.
Big announcement, but not today.
Not today.
No.
We're just going to string those listeners along.
You have to wait until next week.
Yep, you thought it was coming now.
We have an exciting announcement that we are going to make next week, so stay tuned.
It is seriously exciting.
It is way exciting.
It is probably the most exciting thing that we've announced or done on the podcast.
I think so.
Yeah, it is.
Besides the actual announcement that we were starting the podcast.
Oh, yes.
That was the biggest thing.
Exactly.
But this is the second biggest thing.
Definitely.
So we're totally stoked about this, and hopefully you are too. So we'll have a big announcement next week.
Now
you have to listen next week.
Yeah, you have to. We're just pulling you in right now.
Now you're going to get really excited when you see that funny meme that Jaquel... Meme, did I say it right?
You did.
I always say it wrong. I said it right.
You used to say meme all the time, and it's ingrained in your head now.
But it's a meme.
It's a meme.
But yeah, everybody loves those little memes you put up on Thursday
that
night.
That is legitimately probably the highlight of my week, making that meme.
I know. That's quite strange.
I know. I have a very sad life, people.
Anyway. So yeah, we have an exciting announcement to make next week. But we do have a serious subject that we want to talk about today.
We do.
So most of our listeners, if not all of our listeners, have heard of what happened in Las Vegas. The mass shooting that took place was, in fact, the most significant mass shooting in modern U.S. history. 59 dead at this point, 527 injured, and then the gunman turned the gun on himself. So Jaquel and I thought that this is a situation that we can hopefully bring some wisdom to. I'm sure some of our young listeners are looking at this situation wondering why do these things happen?
Mm-hmm.
How do we understand these things? How does the gospel change the way that we think about these things?
Yeah.
Because what's interesting right now is that the world is asking a lot of questions about this.
Yeah.
Like this is a weird situation.
It really is.
With a lot of unanswered questions, and maybe we may not get the answers to the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes I think that we can have an easier time understanding these things when we can get behind why they happened.
Yeah.
And by why they happened, I mean like if somebody claims to have, you know, converted to ISIS and as a terrorist.
Yeah, or have a mental illness or something like that.
Yeah, then maybe we can, you know, make some sense of it. But in the whole scheme of things, it's really hard to understand a situation like this. And so Jaquel and I thought that we would just try to maybe help you think about how to think about when horrible things happen. So clearly we're thinking about this situation. But hopefully this will help us consider all kinds of bad situations that happen in the world and how to make sense of them.
Yeah. And I think it's very important, for us that we recognize that this is a podcast for young people, and young people are grappling with these questions right now. And now is often the time in our lives where we're like first asking these questions seriously and realizing that a lot of horrible stuff really does happen. And now is the time that we need to be able to answer these questions, or at least know where the answers are or who has the answers, even if we don't have maybe all the answers that we want. Mm-hmm. But we need to know where we can put our confidence in this when bad things happen.
Yeah, because, I mean, in a situation like this, the world is trying to figure out what happened.
Yeah.
And all of the different types of media, whether it's liberal news media or conservative media, they're seeking to put their spin on things.
Yeah.
And so it's very difficult if we go to the world and ask them to help us understand a situation like this. They can maybe report facts, but that's really all they can do. And so for us who have been changed by the gospel, whose lives have been transformed and are continuing to be transformed, we need to see this from a biblical worldview. We need to understand this according to what the Bible says. So Jaquel and I are just going to talk about a few things here concerning this situation. But let me just start by saying one thing. Let me give us a framework for this situation. I'm mindful of a few weeks ago, I was talking to a member from our church, Jaquel,
mm-hmm.
and she was trying to understand the book of Job.
Mm-hmm.
This is a lady who I think this is the second time she's read Job, and she's trying to understand Job, and we're having a conversation about this, and she's about she's maybe about a third of the way into Job. And I said to her, this is what I want you to do. I want you to ask yourself this question when you're reading through the rest of the book of Job. Why did God permit the suffering to take place in Job's life that he dealt with?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he lost all of his family in one day and all of his possessions, and he lost his health. And what I want you to ask is what do you learn in here about why Job experienced his suffering? Why did this suffering come?
Yeah.
And so a few weeks went by, and she came back, and I said, so what happened with Job? I says, what's your answer to what happened? What answer did you find in Job? And she said, I didn't find one. I don't know what to tell you about why the suffering happened. And I said, exactly.
That's the answer.
That's the answer, mm-hmm. right? So, I mean, I love the book of Job because it helps us to see that sometimes we don't get an answer. We don't need an answer. God doesn't explain himself to us in every circumstance, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can't understand specific reasons why suffering takes place in our lives,
mm-hmm.
but we can always trust in God. So that's kind of going to present the framework for us to talk about this. So we're basically going to give you two, maybe three things to think about. The first thing, Jaquel, when we look at a situation like this, where this guy rents a hotel room, stockpiles guns, and guns down 59 people dead and injures hundreds more. How do we understand this? What is the root cause of this?
Well, the root cause is sin. So, and I think some people might be a little bit tempted to be like, oh, well, that's just, you know, a pat, trite answer. Of course, sin. Like, when we ask why, I think, like, we want this specific reason. And sometimes it feels like sin is just, like, the general obvious answer. But this is the foundation. Like, the human heart, as Jeremiah says, is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? Humans are sinners, and evil happens because of sinners.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking a little more specifically about this because just a week or two ago, I preached on the seventh commandment.
Mm-hmm.
The sixth commandment: "Thou shalt not murder."
Yeah,
and I'm mindful of Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, where Jesus says, "You've heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says 'You fool' will be liable to the hell of fire." So what Jesus is doing there is he's helping us understand the sixth commandment. He's not reinterpreting it. He's not changing it. He's helping us understand that the root cause of murder is anger,
mm-hmm.
is sin in our hearts. And so I don't think that we should be especially surprised when we see anger played out. When we see sin, I think really what we should stop and think is it's incredible how much God restrains sin.
Yeah.
So imagine, if you would, consider your own heart and how wicked and deceitful your own heart is, or think about some of the sinful thoughts that you have, and imagine if God didn't restrain the evil in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Now just multiply that by 6 billion.
Yeah.
And not to mention that we're addressing mostly Christians here, but consider the fact that a good majority of the world are those with depraved hearts that have not been redeemed. And just consider that God is restraining evil to a significant degree. So I don't think when we consider the sin in our own hearts that we should be surprised by sin in the world. We should be horrified by it, mm-hmm. no doubt. No doubt this is a horrible situation. This should drive us to consider our own hearts, but then it should drive us to pray for these individuals, yeah. for the families that have been influenced, for the I assume there's thousands of people at this concert, yeah. that have been impacted by this, and so it should draw us to our knees to pray that God would bring comfort and that he would bring salvation and into a situation like this.
Yeah, and the book of Romans is also very clear on this. Romans 3 mm-hmm. is one of the clearest passages on the fact that humans are not born with some sort of goodness. I think of this quote by Anne Frank that it's like, I still believe that deep down people are really good mm-hmm. at heart. Mm-hmm. And that's a thing that the world likes to say sometimes mm-hmm. a lot and believe that, you know, deep down humans are actually good and mm-hmm. are actually pure. And the reality is that it's just the opposite.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting when something good happens, somebody will say, oh, how is it they put it? Like, they redeemed my view of mankind.
Yeah.
And it's like, really? The point is that our hearts are wicked and it's evil. There's none righteous, like you said, Romans 3. No, not one.
Yeah.
So
that's just the line, not living with cynicism, but living realistically.
Yeah.
Like, you know your own heart to a degree. Mm-hmm. And you know that it's not at its core pure and good. But if you have been redeemed, mm-hmm. then that has been changed. But we are not born with pure hearts.
No. And I mean, you mentioned Romans 3, and we say, you know, we always refer to verse 10, none is righteous, no, not one. But you know, you memorize the rest of the chapter. You know how Paul goes on to describe what that looks like, what an unrighteous person looks like.
Yeah.
It's very graphic. He says, their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitters. And here it is. Their feet are swift to shed blood.
Mm-hmm.
They're swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery. In the way of peace they have not known. I really like what Al Mohler has to say about this situation, because really, from a worldly perspective, it's hard to, there's no category for this kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? Because man is basically good.
Yeah.
And so Al Mohler, he points out that evil is a theological category. And this is from a piece he wrote. We'll link to it in the show notes. He says, the secular worldview cannot use the word with coherence or sense. The acknowledgement of evil requires the affirmation of a moral judgment and a moral reality above human judgment. If we are just accidental beings in an accidental universe, nothing can really be evil. Evil points to a necessary moral judgment made by a moral authority greater than we are, a transcendent and supernatural moral authority, God. So a worldview that says there is no God cannot come up with a category for evil. It is all just relative.
Yeah. Like, I love that he says, like, a Christian worldview is the only thing that can address a situation like this rightly and truthfully, realizing that this is evil and being able to actually call it evil.
Yeah. The cause of this is sin.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, if that's where we stopped, that's, you know, pretty discouraging, but mm-hmm. that's not where we stop. So the first thing we need to recognize is that we shouldn't be surprised by sin. Situations like this should cause us to investigate our own hearts, mm-hmm. to consider our own hearts and confess and repent of our own sin, and then to pray for those who are impacted by, you know, sins, such egregious sins as we're considering here with this shooting.
Definitely. That was something I saw. One of the first things I saw about it was Jasmine Holmes posted something, and it was like, before we get into all the articles about why this happened and who he was and all these kind of like moral and political responses, can we just all stop and realize that a horrible thing happened mm-hmm. and we need to pray? We need to pray for these people, and we need to pray for the churches in Las Vegas who are going to be addressing this and realize that horrible stuff happened to real people, and this should grieve us. because of that, and we should lament.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So then, but we do want to move on to something else, and maybe, I don't know, I actually wondered whether we should start with this or start with sin.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, I think we're in good shape here. So let's move on to the second thing that we need to consider in light of this when we try to understand this situation. What is the second thing we need to think of after we think of sin?
That is the sovereignty of God.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, just stop for a minute and think about how you would view the situation if you didn't believe in the sovereignty of God.
Yeah. So maybe we should say, too, what we mean by the sovereignty of God, that God is the ruler and he is in control of all things.
Yeah. He has ordained all that will take place on this earth. So Isaiah 46, verse 10. Well, I'll start halfway through verse 9. I am God and there is no other. This is Yahweh speaking. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about the fact that God has ordained all that is happening. He is sovereign over all that is happening. He is providentially ruling everything that happens in this world. And I love how the Puritan Catechism defines God's providence, that he preserves and governs all his creatures and all their actions.
Mm-hmm.
So God was not surprised by what happened in Las Vegas.
Right.
He was not surprised by this situation. He is sovereign over it all. He's sovereign over everything.
But we should also be quick to say that God is not the author of evil.
No, absolutely. God is sovereign over all things, but man is responsible for his actions. Now, that's one of those things that's hard to understand.
A mystery.
It's a mystery. Yet we believe both of these truths because the Bible teaches both of these truths.
Mm-hmm.
It teaches us that God is sovereign and ruling over all things, but it also teaches that man is responsible for his actions. So it was John Piper who said, the evil and suffering in this world are greater than any of us can comprehend. But evil and suffering are not ultimate. God is. And again, thinking of just veering away from the quote for a minute, I think back to the book of Job,
mm-hmm.
right? It's really weird to understand that situation at the beginning of the book of Job, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? Where Satan and the sons of God go in and have this council with God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really understand everything that's going on there. I see what's written, but I'm thinking to myself, does this happen? Is this a regular?
Yeah.
It's like, what is that all about? Anyway, we're not sure. But what we are sure about is that anything that Satan does concerning Job and his life, he is given permission by God.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing happens in Job. Nothing happens in Job's life apart from the sovereignty of God. That is so abundantly clear in the beginning of the book of Job.
Yeah. And really, that should be so abundantly comforting in our lives, like the fact that God is ruling and reigning. I mean, like you said before, like if you didn't believe that,
yeah,
what hope do you have? Like life is just chaos.
Yeah, as though God could have stopped, or God couldn't have stopped this.
Yeah.
And he didn't have the power to stop it, or he didn't have the wisdom to see it coming.
Yeah.
I mean, we believe that God is all powerful and God is all knowing, and we are not.
Yeah.
And so let me just finish Piper's quote. He says, Satan, the great lover of evil and suffering, is not sovereign. God is.
Mm.
So this is just a great reminder that God is sovereign over all things. It's exactly what Scripture teaches, that our God is in the heavens. He does whatever he pleases. So we don't want to think that, like I say, that God is surprised by this, but he's sovereign over it all. And that brings us to the very end. And that's that God has a plan.
Yeah. And this is something that, like, we're going to unpack what we mean by this, because you may have heard a phrase that, you know, like, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And
yeah.
People use that term to mean that no suffering or evil is going to happen. And that's just not what the Bible teaches. But the Bible does teach that God has a plan and it is good and it will bring him glory.
Yeah, sadly, there are those who will say, if you trust in Jesus, you will never experience a lick of suffering in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do experience suffering, they say, then you've not trusted in Jesus enough or well enough. And that's just a terrible lie. The Scripture makes very clear that we will experience suffering. We will experience persecution. We will experience difficulty that comes as a result of living in a fallen world
mm-hmm.
amongst fallen human beings. And sometimes we'll experience difficulty and suffering because of our own sin.
Yeah.
So anyway. anyway, we most definitely don't want to think that our lives will be free of suffering. I'm sure for some of our young listeners, they're thinking, oh yeah, but you know, everything's going to be fine for me. Well, all you have to do is live for a few years, or a few decades, and you'll realize that life comes with difficulty. Even mm-hmm. the Christian life comes with difficulty and suffering and persecution. So we don't want to be surprised by things like this. We want to understand them from a Christian worldview. And so let me just try to explain to you what is going on in this world.
Please explain, okay? Pastor Dad.
Not in a micro, not at a micro level, but at a macro level. I cannot explain to you why God permitted this thing to happen. I cannot explain to you why God ordained for it to happen. Not on a micro level. I can't say like what does all of this have to do with
what
everything?
Was God thinking?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because that's one of the secret things of God, right? So I can't explain why every experience of suffering happens in this world, and I can't explain why it happens in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a pastor, I deal with a lot of people who are dealing with suffering, and they want to know why. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I think back to the book of Job. The book of Job really is instructive when it comes to understanding suffering. And I think about his three friends,
yeah.
right?
His three
friends who he called worthless physicians, because his three friends, they were good friends for the first 7 days because they just sat with him.
And didn't say anything.
Didn't say anything. And then when they start talking, then we have a problem. And because they tried to explain to him why what was happening was happening. And they didn't know why it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
They were wrong. So I'm not going to try to, I would never try to tell somebody why in particular some event happened. But what I can tell you is God has a plan that he is working all things together for the good of his people. This is the macro level of his plan. I can tell you what God is at work doing in this world because he tells us. So in Romans 8:28, he says, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. So when we look at this situation, there is no pat answer. There is no simple answer to why this particular thing happened at this particular time. But what we can rest in is the fact that God has a goal in mind in this world. And the goal he has in mind, the plan that he is working out, is he is redeeming a people for his glory
mm-hmm.
that will end in their glorification. That's why I read all the way through to the end of verse 30 there. So that in Romans 8:28, it talks about that he's working all things together for the good of his people, those who love him. But he is the good is the glorification of his people to live together in the new heavens and the new earth together with him for all of eternity. That's his plan. And
yeah.
if you are trusting in Jesus, if you have repented of your sins and you have realized the sin in your own heart and
mm-hmm.
confessed that to God and trusted in Jesus as the sacrifice for your sin, that he died in your place, that he bore your sin, bore the wrath that you deserved on the cross, and you've trusted in Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you're part of that plan.
Mm.
And that's the end goal. So I want us to understand this situation from a biblical worldview and to see that we who trust in Christ are not without hope.
Yeah.
And so this is a situation where you can bring comfort and just be there and weep with people, and you can bring a message of hope and encourage them to look to Christ and find answers in his word.
Yeah, definitely. And then the other thing that we can also rest in is the fact that God is just, and mm-hmm. evil will not go unpunished.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we don't have to or need to say much more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Just the reality that you can trust in the fact that God is a just judge and he will do what is right.
Yeah, yeah. Justice will be served. God will. God, I think of, I think it's Romans 12. But it says, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, sometimes justice is served here on the earth, but we know that ultimately justice will be served.
Yep.
So we can trust in God and know that he will work all things together for his good and bring about judgment and salvation for his glory.
Yeah. So this was not an easy episode, and it's not an easy situation. These are not easy questions, but they're important questions. And we want you to continue to go to God's word for yourself, to talk to your parents about this. When bad things like this happen and you do have questions, talk to your parents. Discuss this together and pray about this together.
Absolutely. All right. So, Jaquelle, why don't you give the standard?
Sounds good. No cheesy conclusion. Transition today. Nope. So if you want to find us, you can do that on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Age of Minority. And we would love if you would go over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review or any star review. Okay. We'll just take
We can take it.
We'll take it. And you can always look us up on our website, ageofminority.com. Ageofminority.com. And if you have questions for mailbag, you can email us at Jaquelle or Sean at ageofminority.com.
Yeah, we have a question or two that I'm excited about answering, but we're not opening that mailbag until we got enough questions.
Yeah, so send us your questions and we will do another mailbag.
Yep, and don't forget, we have an exciting announcement next week.
Tune in.
Jaquelle, until next week.
This has been Age of Minority.